Well, how would you describe how you describe something reveals its defining characteristics. The description you give would help someone identify the object to a person who has never seen it before. So, for instance, if you're describing a tennis ball, I would say that it is a neon greenish yellow ball that is about the size of your fist and it bounces. If I were to describe a police officer, generally speaking, police officers are in shape, wear a blue uniform, and are brave. If I were to describe a judge, generally speaking, judges are intelligent, impartial, and wear long black robes. Now, with these descriptions, you can identify the object after seeing it, or identify the person having maybe spent some time with them. Now, how you describe something reveals its defining characteristics. So, how would you describe a Christian? How would you generally characterize a Christian to someone else? You might say they are a good, morally upstanding person. Or they are generous, kind, and loving. And I hope you would say that they believe in God. All of these things are true of Christians. But are they the defining characteristic of a believer? What are the best ways to characterize a Christian? How would Jesus describe what a Christian is, such that it reveals the defining characteristics of who they are? Well, we don't have to wonder too much because he tells us in our passage this morning in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. Though we read the whole passage this morning, we'll only be focusing on verse 23 just for today. This one verse informs us how Jesus would describe the defining characteristic of a Christian. And so this is important and worth spending an entire sermon on because I think it would benefit us from this one verse. Now, in this one verse, Jesus defines a Christian with the following three characteristics, each which will be its own point in the message that follows. And so Jesus says that a true Christian first denies himself, second, takes up his cross daily, and then third, follows Jesus. So a true Christian denies himself, takes up his cross daily, and follows Jesus. The entirety of our sermon will be spent on verse 23, and we'll be unpacking that one verse. We'll unpack each description this morning, and we'll practically look at what it means and what it looks like to live these things out. But before we begin looking at them in depth, I want you to write down the following questions, okay? These are questions that for you to ask yourself after the sermon, questions for you to ponder throughout the week. I really encourage you to do this. If you are a believer here this morning, then ask yourself this: is my life, day in and day out, characterized by these descriptions? Is my life, day in and day out, characterized by denying myself, taking up my cross, and following Jesus? And if you're not a believer, then ask yourself the following question: is Jesus worth it to live my life according to these defining characteristics? Is Jesus enough that I would deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him? And if he is worth it, what needs to change in my life such that these are my defining characteristics? These are crucial questions for you to consider, to ponder, and to reflect on. For how you respond to these questions have eternal implications. And so with that important challenge stated, let's dive into this one verse. We'll read verse 23 again, and then we'll begin by describing what Jesus means by denying yourself. And so let's read verse 23 of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We'll stop right there. And so before I unpack what Jesus means by deny yourself, I need to make a general comment on the entire verse. Jesus says to all of his disciples, if anyone would come to me, come after me, which means if anyone were to be my disciple, if anyone wants to be a genuine Christian, to come to Jesus, to come after Jesus, is to be one of his true disciples. And in order to be one of his true disciples, Jesus says, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow him. One thing I want to clarify is that Jesus is not making a suggestion that you choose to do or not do if you want to be one of his true disciples. Imagine that it is a hot summer's day. I know it's kind of hard to imagine when it feels like 5 degrees outside, but imagine that it is a hot summer's day and my kids have been playing outside for over an hour. I might say to them, if you need to cool off, sit down in the shade. Now they can take my suggestion or not. They could choose to sit down in the shade, or they may keep playing. Or they could come inside to cool down or run through a sprinkler. My command to sit down in the shade is a suggestion that they can follow or not. And the command, because it was a command, sit down in the shade, the command is one of many ways that they can cool down if needed. But this is not the case with Jesus' command in verse 23. All of the verbs in verse 23, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow, they are all imperatives in the original Greek language, and they carry a stronger force than mere suggestion. Though it is acceptable to translate the text as let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily and follow him, I think the let him at the beginning could be misunderstood as a suggestion, much like how I said sit down in the shade was a suggestion in my hypothetical summer example that I just mentioned. And so I do think that the better translation that gets at the heart of what Jesus is saying would be something like this. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. He must take up his cross daily, and he must follow me. It is not optional, nor is it a suggestion. If you are to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, you must be characterized by these three things. And so, with that important clarification made, let's look at the first defining characteristic of a true disciple of Christ. Jesus says, you must deny yourself. And so what exactly does it mean to deny yourself? I believe to deny yourself means to deny your self-centeredness in order to pursue Christ. That could certainly mean denying yourself luxuries and worldly desires and worldly gains, but it is not limited to those things. It's denying yourself and all things and all the urges that want to make you supreme. It's all those things that want to make you the center of the universe. These things are getting in the way of following Jesus, of being a disciple of Christ. And so you must deny yourself, put those things aside, and choose to follow Christ. Denying yourself means willingly reject your old sinful identity rooted in self-centeredness and worldliness, and instead willingly submitting to God and living according to His word, will, and way. To deny yourself for the sake of God is a sacrifice, one that could lead to suffering of sorts. You sacrifice worldly gain for the sake of pursuing God. You suffer as you lay aside things that you want to do and that others enjoy because it would get in the way of being a disciple of Christ. And so when Jesus commands you to deny yourself, He is commanding you to deny your self-centeredness in order to pursue Christ-centeredness. Even if that means you must sacrifice and suffer as a result. Now, perhaps the most natural follow-up question is, well, why should we deny ourselves? Is it really necessary to practice self-denial? I think it is, because denying yourself for God's sake is indicative of your genuine trust in God. If you deny yourself of your self-centeredness and of the things of this world, you are revealing that you trust God more than you trust the ways of the world. And so we practice self-denial because we trust God more and His word and His ways more than we trust the ways of the world. If you trust God, then show that by practicing self-denial for the sake of honoring Christ. And so what practically does it look like for you to deny yourself? Well, as I've mentioned, it means not putting yourself at the center of the universe, but rather putting God at the center. His will and desire becomes your will and desire. But it also means denying yourself what the world deems acceptable, but which God deems unacceptable. These would be things like telling half-truths or innocent lies, in order to make yourself look better or to get out of trouble. It would mean things like making money the central driving force of your life would be things that you would not pursue. Complaining about someone else behind their back and saying that you are just venting would be another example. Having sex outside of marriage, or hoarding something instead of generously sharing it with others. These are all ways that we would deny ourselves, or things that ought to be denied, that the world deems acceptable, but that as a believer, as a follower of Christ, we must deny ourselves of them in order to follow Christ. It is denying yourself things that feel good, but ultimately are sinful according to God's word. Consider this true story. Names have been left out. Suppose there is a person who struggles with same-sex homosexual attraction. The world would say, act on those desires. And it would be wrong for them to deny themselves those desires. But a true disciple who is following Jesus and who has these same-sex attractions will deny their sexual urges and live a life of celibacy instead of indulging in their own sinful desires. Now, these are just a few practical ways to practice self-denial. In what ways, church, do you maybe need to deny yourself for the sake of honoring God? If you are a disciple of Christ, you must deny yourself. The second characteristic that Jesus gives to define one of his genuine disciples is to take up your cross daily. If you want to come after Jesus, then you must take up your cross daily. Now, before we understand what it means to take up your cross, let me make sure that we are all on the same page as to what is meant by the symbol of the cross. You see, in today's day and age, the cross has been softened. It is often jewelry that we hang around our neck, or a symbol that we get tattooed on our bodies. But we must never forget that the cross is a vicious symbol of torture, cruelty, pain, humiliation, and shame. The cross was a symbol of death. At that time, the cross was a terrifying warning to those who would rebel against Rome, a warning that their fate would be a long, protracted, agonizing, public, humiliating death. Furthermore, criminals were forced to carry their cross on their own back to the place of their own execution. And as such, carrying the cross was this act of submission to the authority of Rome. It was a literal symbol crushing them of the authority that Rome had over them. The criminal had no power and no authority, and as an act of total submission to the power of the state, the criminal was forced to carry the very instrument that would be used to kill him. Now, in a similar sense, this sense of the cross is what we must have in mind when Jesus says, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." Therefore, when Jesus commands his disciples to pick up their cross, he is saying that they must endure through suffering and rejection as they carry the cross. That their old sinful nature and behaviors must be killed and crucified. In a real sense, all believers will suffer death in some real sense. And to pick up your cross means to completely submit to the authority of God. When you pick up your cross in response to Jesus' command, it is an indication that God has total claim on your life. You are accepting that you are completely under the power and the authority of the all-powerful, sovereign God. You willingly relinquish having ultimate authority over your own life. This is what it means to pick up your cross. Now notice that Jesus says to pick up your cross daily. Don't breeze over that word because it is crucially important. If you are a disciple of Christ, then you must pick up your cross every day. Not just on Sundays, not just in front of your Christian friends, not just when you're rested and you feel like it, but all the time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and 366 days when it's a leap year. Someone got it. There are no vacations, no sick days, no holidays, no mental health days from picking up your cross. And so when Jesus commands you to pick up your cross, to take up your cross daily, it is an everyday commitment to die to your way and your authority and submit to God's way and God's authority. And as you live under his authority, you accept the rejection, the suffering, and the death to self that comes along with it. And so what practically does it look like for you to take up your cross daily? Well, submitting to God's authority and picking up your cross might look like facing opposition from family members because of your commitment to your faith. You might even lose friendships and relationships as a result. Or picking up your cross may look like being insulted or ridiculed because you uphold the sanctity of marriage, that it is marriage is between one man and one woman, and rejecting the notion that two people of the same gender could get married. Picking up your cross could mean losing your job because you won't do some unethical practice that your boss is pressuring you to do. Picking up your cross daily is a daily commitment to accept rejection from others because of your biblical beliefs. You don't try to fit in with the world by adjusting your values to align with theirs. Rather, you willingly accept rejection instead of receiving approval from others. And picking up your cross is a daily reminder to die to your old sinful self. We all have sins that we are prone to fall for. Sins that our old self love to indulge. And those sins have their way of rearing their ugly head as we are trying to follow Jesus. And so picking up your cross daily means that every day you commit to killing your sin. You commit to crucifying your sins and dying to your old way of living. Now, why would we live in this manner? There is part of each and every one of us that does not want to suffer, to be rejected, and to face opposition. We would rather fit in. We would rather live lives free from rejection and suffering. We would rather be liked by everyone. So why should we live in this manner? Because we value God more than we value the world. We treasure Christ more than we treasure the approval of others. As disciples of Christ, we want to show the world that we love Jesus and we are committed to him more than anything else. And so by accepting suffering, rejection, and opposition, we show the world that God is what we value most. We pick up our cross daily because God is our greatest treasure and delight, greater than anything that this world could possibly offer. When Jesus commands his disciples to take up their cross and follow him, it's a command to suffer, to be rejected, and to die to yourself because you willingly submit completely to the authority of God over your life. And you joyfully do so because your supreme joy and satisfaction are in God alone. If you are his disciples, you must pick up your cross daily. And the third characteristic that Jesus gives to define who his genuine disciples are is this: we must follow him. We are commanded to follow Jesus. Truthfully, the command to follow Jesus is depicted by the previous two commands. That is, to follow Jesus is to deny yourself and to pick up your cross daily. But in addition to that, following Jesus means walking in his footsteps and keeping in step with how he lives and how he acts. To follow Jesus means that your life is characterized by complete obedience to Jesus and to his words. And so to follow Jesus entails denying yourself and picking up your cross daily, yes, but it also includes a desire and delight to be obedient to Christ. Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We follow Jesus and obey him because we love him. Our great love for Christ leads to be obedient to Christ. Now, to clarify, we do not earn our salvation by obedience. Rather, when God saves us by grace through faith, which both are gifts from God, when God saves us, then the result of being saved is that we desire to walk in obedience. The natural response to being saved by Jesus is to follow Jesus by obeying his commands. Now, once again, practically speaking, following Jesus entails denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following him daily, and all those examples that I gave in the previous 2 points. But it also means delightfully obeying and living out what the Bible says. And so this includes loving your neighbor. It includes putting the needs of others above your own. It means living a pure life, free from sexual morality. It means not gossiping or slandering others. It means encouraging others, especially those in our church family, with the Word of God. It means getting out of your comfort zone and loving others in our own church. It's seeking their interests above your own interests. It's loving them by introducing yourself to a new person in church. It's loving them by sitting next to someone that you don't typically sit next to at church and getting to know them and care for them. It's caring for the family of believers. It's sharing the gospel with others. You've heard me say this phrase a bajillion times at this point. We are set apart to be sent out to proclaim the excellencies of Christ. This is who we are. I could go on and on with this list. We follow Jesus, yes, by denying ourselves, picking up our cross, but we also do so by being obedient to what the Bible says. If you are his true disciple, you must follow Jesus. Now, this crucial verse reveals how Jesus characterizes those who are truly his disciples. If you are his disciple, or if you want to be his disciple, you must deny yourself. You must pick up your cross daily. and you must follow him. And in teaching them what characterizes his true disciples, he is also teaching the people what they should expect if they are to truly be his followers. He is equipping them for the hard road ahead of following after him. Denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following Jesus is not like walking in a parade. It's not easy. It's hard. It's a rugged path. It's a rough road. And Jesus is warning his disciples then, and he's warning us today. If you are to follow me, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. His teaching in verse 23, which we've covered extensively today, actually relates to verses 21 and 22, which we covered last week. In verses 21 and 22 last week, he revealed to his disciples what must happen to him. If you remember, he must suffer, he must be rejected, he must be killed, and he must be raised. And now here in verse 23, he is calling his disciples to do the same thing. As his disciples, they will suffer as they deny themselves and pick up their cross daily. As his disciples, they will be rejected for picking up their cross and following Jesus, which is countercultural to the world that they are living in. As his disciples, they may very well be killed physically, as in be martyred for the sake of Jesus. Certainly the early Christians were. Certainly Christians in more hostile parts of the world are still martyred today. It is unlikely that those in this room will be martyred for Christ, but it could happen. But what is true is that all believers who pick up their cross and follow Jesus are killed in one sense, in that they have been crucified with Christ. The old sinful nature has been killed. It died with Jesus on the cross. And God raises them to newness of life in Christ. And so, what Jesus endured is what his true followers also will have to endure. But we must not forget that our efforts do not earn our salvation. Verse 23 is not a verse depicting how to be saved. Rather, it is a verse that reveals what it looks like to have genuine faith in Jesus as your Savior. This is not adding to belief, but rather this is what it means and looks like to believe. No amount of self-denial or picking up your cross or following can save us. We are not saved by taking up our own cross. We are saved because Jesus took up his cross for us. Jesus was rejected by his own and then literally picked up his own cross. He experienced immense physical suffering as he hung on the cross. But he also suffered the infinite weight of God's wrath, which God had reserved for all believers. The wrath and punishment that God had towards all genuine disciples for all of their sin was poured out on Jesus. and it crushed him. If you are a true follower of Jesus, then Jesus took your place and took the wrath that you deserved, and he died so that you would not have to. His death paid the debt that you owed God for all of your past, present, and future sins. You are forgiven and restored in your relationship with God if you but trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And just as Jesus rose victoriously from the grave, so too those who, by grace, trust in Christ are also raised to new life in Christ. And with this new life in Christ, they are enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deny themselves, to pick up their cross daily, and to follow him. This is the good news of the gospel, and we must remember it every day. Because, spoiler alert, all of us every day will fail as we live being Jesus' disciples. You will fail to deny yourself and instead embrace your selfish, self-centered desires. You will fail to pick up your cross daily and instead conform to the world in order to avoid suffering and rejection. You will fail to follow Jesus and instead follow the ways of this world. We all will succumb to these things. But the good news of the gospel is that God's grace is greater than all of our sin. That though our sins are many, his mercy is more. And so, though a genuine disciple of Christ might stumble and fall as they follow Jesus, a true believer will always get back up, repent of their sin, and follow Jesus. Because a true disciple of Jesus is characterized, is defined by someone who denies themselves, picks up their cross daily, and follows Christ. And so, I return back to the question that I gave at the very beginning of the sermon. If you are a believer, is your life, day in, day out, characterized by these descriptions of denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following Jesus? Is your life, day in and day out, by God's grace, characterized by these three descriptions? And if you're not a believer, is Jesus worth it to live your life according to these ways? Is Jesus enough that you would deny yourself for him, take up your cross for him, and follow him? May we be a people who truly trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, as our Redeemer and as our greatest treasure. And may we show the world, may we show the world that we are his disciples by denying ourselves, by taking up our cross daily, and by following Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do come to you and we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. For it is by your grace and by your mercy that you sent to us Jesus, who died in our place to free us from our sin, to save us from the wrath that we rightfully deserved. And we thank you that you have imparted believers with the Holy Spirit to empower them to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow you, Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would enable us and empower us to walk in those ways. Father, we do confess that we are prone to wander. We confess that we are prone to give in and live self-centeredly. We confess that we are prone to put our cross down for a time so that we would not suffer and be rejected. And Father, forgive us, for we are prone to not obey your word. Forgive us, God, of these ways, and help us, empower us by your Spirit to walk in ways that are pleasing in your sight. Help us to be a people who trust exclusively in Jesus Christ, who lean and depend upon his grace, his saving grace, and his sustaining grace that sustains us through every moment of every day of our lives. Would we rest in that sustaining grace? And as we rest on that grace, would we freely and joyfully deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow Christ? Help us, O Lord, to do this, for we cannot do it apart from you. Your word says, apart from you, Jesus, we can do nothing. And so let us remain and abide in you, Christ, and then empower us by your Spirit to walk and follow you. We love you, our Lord, and we praise you, and we pray all these things, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.